Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. Good morning. It's the John Osterlin Morning Show.
Hi.
I'm sure you're familiar with the name, but did you know that this guy not only is still alive, but he's still performing? Engelbert.
I knew that's who you were going to say.
Humperdinck.
I just knew that.
How did you know I was going to say Engelbert Humperdinck?
I knew you were going to say Engelbert Humperdinck. I just knew it.
I don't think I've said that name in years.
I don't think you've ever said that name on the air.
Not on the air, but
in my presence.
The reason I'm bringing...
Let's start over. Let's pick another one. I'll try to define that as well. Later on today's show, I'm going to bend spoons with my mind.
Well, he's in his 80s. He's got to be. But he still performs. And the reason I'm bringing him up is because the other night, an elderly heckler got kicked out of the Engelbert Humperdinck show. You see that? An elderly heckler. Go figure. This past Friday night, the Humper, I guess that's his nickname, Engelbert Humperdinck.
Think so. No, I don't think
he had a gig at a place called Count Basie Theater in Red Bank, New Jersey.
All right.
And he riled up the audience so much.
Wait, the heckler or Engelbert? Now I'm confused.
Well, both of them.
Oh.
I guess Engelbert got the crowd going, and one of the people in the crowd, an elderly man, caused the scene. He got himself thrown out. Can you imagine a guy, an old man in his 80s, gets himself thrown out of an Engelbert Humperdinck show?
Well, do we have his exact age? Because Engelbert himself is 82.
Wow. Right around the same name. It just said he was elderly, right around the same age. And it said Engelbert Humperdinck comes out, croons a couple of songs, and then all of a sudden, the elderly man in the front row interrupted him. He was complaining that a teleprompter at the foot of the stage blocked his view. Now, because Engelbert's 82, he probably could use the teleprompter to keep the lyrics of the songs so he could see. But this old man is a big Humperdinck fan, a Humperdincker. He is in the front row. He paid good money for it. He doesn't want anything interfering with his view to now, see Engelbert.
Made note of that to someone prior to the show. Does he have to do it during the show? Maybe they move the teleprompter. I don't know.
Brewster, if you're in your 80s and you're in the front row
really
of
matter.
An Engelbert Humperdinck show, yeah, he sees the teleprompter there. He starts screaming, heckling him. And in the beginning...
Why not heckle the teleprompter? Why heckle I can't do it. Engelbert.
In the beginning, Humperdinck played along with him at first. Humperdinck engaged the heckler in some friendly banter.
Right. Because you can sometimes diffuse the situation, as you well know.
But then...
You've dealt a lot with hecklers.
Absolutely.
On this show.
Absolutely. At Ask Clown shows, it happens all the time. And when I'm just regularly eating dinner. But anyways, Humperdinck engaged the heckler with some friendly banter, but then he noticed the age of the heckler, the silver hair, and people around him started screaming, "Bernie Sanders! Shut up, Bernie Sanders!" I guess the guy kind of looked like Bernie Sanders.
All right, I want my money back now. This show's completely gone to hell.
Well, pretty soon the audience took up the cry shouting, "Bernie, Bernie." They were chanting Bernie. And again, this is at an Engelbert Humperdinck show.
Yes.
The old man heckler in the front row was not amused, and he continued heckling the 82-year-old Humperdinck.
Right.
Security guards then started circling. Security guards in their wheelchairs started circling the Bernie Sanders lookalike,
right.
Who refused to be still. He was not having it with the teleprompter that was blocking his front row seat. You think about it. You're in your 80s. You're going to see an 82-year-old guy. You're in the front row. You want nothing in your way. And now the audience is getting mad. They're chanting, "Throw him out! Throw him out!" I guess so. This was a big audience participation show the other night.
Well, it wasn't supposed to be, but
and that's exactly what they did. The guards escorted the old heckler out of the auditorium, and Engelbert Humperdinck went right back and started singing. That's something. It just goes to show you rock and roll, or even though Engelbert Humperdinck wouldn't be called a rock and roller,
no,
still live music. You never know. I mean, it was no mosh pit there, but it was one heckler in his 80s that was not happy about.
Well, I think it's actually at his show. It's a mush pit.
the teleprompter, but I learned something new every day.
Engelbert Humperdinck is on my personal short list if, God forbid, anything should happen to widespread panic. And then there you go, Engelbert Humperdinck and Tom Jones, almost contemporaries.
But does Quint Davis know Engelbert's currently on the road and he could probably make a stop at that Thursday at Jazz Fest?
Quint Davis knows everything.
He does, doesn't he?
All right, quiz time.
What?
Engelbert Humperdinck was born in, looking for a country. Country.
Oh, I think I know this. Isn't he from England? Well, I was
Where
close.
Where was he born?
I couldn't tell
he
you.
He would be thought of as being British. Where was he born? Engelbert Humperdinck.
Where is the last name Humperdinck? A big name.
Not his real name. His real name is Arnold George Dorsey.
I think he probably would have sold more records if he kept his birth name. I mean, if you're going to change your name.
Still looking for an answer, not for more stalling on your part.
Who changes their name to Engelbert Humperdinck?
The question is, where was Engelbert Humperdinck born? Sorry, we're looking for, I lost it. We're looking for Madras in British India. Madras, British India.
Well, I was close. British, I said. So, I mean, it was British India. It was kind of close.
Okay, hand grenades and horseshoes. Okay.
Well, good to see the guy is still there. I think Release Me would probably be his most famous song, right?
Yes.
That's a good croon. Good to see Engelbert still out there touring. He's not taking crap from old men hecklers either. Here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show, brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans and Lamarck Ford. So at one of our charter high schools, news is being made. Sophie B. Wright Charter High School, and that's on Napoleon. That's my old neck of the woods. That's why I used to live right around the corner from there. Napoleon and Magazine Street, uptown. The reason why Sophie B. Wright Charter School is in the news is because several of their students just got suspended because officials there say they did a senior prank and three people were injured and a bathroom may or may not have been destroyed. I'm not 100% clear about that. The senior prank happened just a few days ago on April 5th. And yesterday morning, a statement posted to the website for Sophie B. Wright High School, the charter school, said that the students used water guns, eggs, vinegar, mustard, and water balloons inside and outside of the building there on Napoleon Uptown.
Well, for a second there, you had the makings of a pretty good potato salad base.
Yeah, but it was a senior prank instead. And the senior prank happened last Friday. The school says that. Now, here's why the students, again, they were suspended, and the punishment was none of you can go to your graduation. And it's got some of the parents upset, saying, wait a minute, wait, slow down here. We've got a couple of these students here. They're the first in our family to graduate high school. This is the first granddaughter that this woman has, grandchild, that will ever graduate high school. How dare you say that these children can't go to the graduation because of this senior prank that they played? It's a prank. It happens all the time in schools all over America. Now, authorities at Sophie B. Wright Charter High School, they're saying that they let the students know very clearly, because they evidently got wind of it, the teachers and administrators and the powers that be in the upper administration at Sophie B. Wright Charter High School. And they let everybody know, they sent out a statement saying, do not do this senior prank that we're hearing about. And if you do it, there is going to be discipline that ensues. Well, the kids, they didn't know what the discipline was going to be, and they did it anyways.
Some of them didn't know what the word discipline meant.
Well, this is a charter school, though. I think this school's pretty good. Charter schools are good. These schools are much, much better than the public schools that were in New Orleans before they went charter school. Much better. But parents are just saying, look, you could discipline my kid for doing the senior prank, but you can't tell my kid they can't go to graduation because they've already earned their degree and they just have to go, they have to go pick it up at graduation. There's major discourse over there. The school principal, Sharon Clark, said the prank started on the first and third floors inside the high school. The water on the floor caused two teachers and a student to slip. School property was sprayed with water and a restroom was quote-unquote compromised. This is where I got confused. Again, they said the kids shot off. They had water guns and they were hitting each other with water. But then when a restroom was quote-unquote compromised. I don't know exactly what that means. That's why I said they may or may not have damaged a bathroom. I don't know what that means. They don't want to get into details. And there's video going around. I mean, it just shows the kids squirt each other with squirt guns in the parking lot. Do you think this is a proper punishment for the crime? Again, some of the parents and some of the students, when I saw this on the news, they said, look, if we knew we were going to be kicked out of our graduation, we wouldn't have done this. They said, don't do this, but they didn't tell us what the penalty was going to be if we did this. And it looks like a pretty harmless senior prank. I don't know about the extent of the injuries of the people who slipped on the water, and I don't know the extent, the damage to the bathroom that has been quote-unquote compromised. And the video that's been going around, and I know most of the local news television stations have showed it, it looked pretty harmless with the squirt guns in the parking lot. Again, we didn't see everything, but I mean, it looked pretty harmless with the water guns. Now, I didn't see them use the eggs, the vinegar, the mustard. I think I did see a couple of water balloons go around. It's been a while since I've been in high school.
Any boiled eggs involved? To get maybe make some deviled eggs out of that concoction.
Well, I'm familiar with pranks. I'm trying to put all of this together: the eggs, the vinegar, the mustard, the water balloons, the squirt guns. But anyways, it sounds pretty harmless.
But and see, here's the thing about the punishment, and it reminds me of certain things that you will see in fine print when you take on a new position. And you will often see, depending on certain levels of employment, you will see things that I would refer to as implied. For example, if you read your employee handbook, there are things in there that may be fully elucidated and may not be. But then you'll see that phrase could lead actions could lead. Up to and including termination. And I think this situation reminds me of that. It's like, number one, don't don't go along through the school year and then play these ridiculous pranks during senior week or during graduation or whatever it is, or coming up on graduation, because you'll probably get the full weight of justice. So I don't think there's any, I don't think the school has to spell out, well, if you do this with eggs and vinegar and water guns, and I don't think it necessarily needs to be explained.
Well, that's what the people who believe in what the school did are saying. I saw one student who was interviewed, but they didn't show her face and they didn't want to give her name. She didn't want to give her name because she was afraid of retribution. But on one of the local newscasts, she said that we all knew that the school told us a couple of days before not to do this particular senior prank. And the one girl said, I was going to get involved, but then when I saw that the school sent out that email to everybody, I'm not doing it.
And some students will take that as at face value as a cautionary warning. And other ones will say, okay, well, you've thrown down the gauntlet. We're going to go ahead and do this. Or we're going to dance right up to the edge of being in trouble and see what we can get away with.
I thought this was pretty refreshing, being the lead story on the local news over the last couple of days when we live in a city where people are getting shot every day. But Sophie B. Wright enrolls 530 students. 130 of them are seniors. Their graduation ceremony is set for May 13th at Xavier University. I think... Now, look, and I know there are people that the school told you not to do this. They said if you do this senior prank, there is going to be punishment. You did it anyways. Well, here's the punishment. You can't go to graduation with the rest of your class.
The end.
That they say the end, but there are some parents, grandparents, students that are upset. They did well with their grades. I mean, can't you give me a detention? Give my kid a detention.
My little Billy, my little Susie.
But let my kid graduate. We'll see. We'll see what happens. I have a feeling, because this made so much news and there's a lot of pressure, and you got so many kids that they're going to be the first in their families to graduate. And I have a feeling Sophie B. Wright is going to backpedal a little bit. Put these kids in detention every day for the next 2 weeks after school. Take away some of their school privileges. Let them graduate. They worked too hard for 4 years to have that day taken away from them.
But they're going to graduate. They're just not going to be part of the ceremony. And I think that is I think that's an appropriate. When you were given the warning, don't do it. Don't do this, and this. But it's not up to the school to say if you do this, and this, you might not graduate. You just, oh boy, the school day is for one thing and one thing only, and that is to get an education.
I would punish them, but I think they went a little too far with the graduation. Just
that's not how life works, though. I think that sends the wrong message. That's just me.
Well, Brewster, if they said don't do this or you will not be able to graduate with your class, I think it would have been a little different. They never said that.
Yeah, I didn't know I was going to get the electric chair. I never would have killed that guy.
Well, I think
you can't say that after the fact.
I think people know if they kill someone, they're probably going to get in a lot of trouble.
Well, I'm using a ridiculous example because I think it's ridiculous to come back and say, well, we did it, but. We don't think it, we're so sorry that we got caught. That's what it smacks of to me. It's the recalcitrant remorse of we're sorry we got caught.
And again, I don't know the details, but I'm looking at the videos of these kids in the parking lot. They look like they're having a blast. They're shooting each other with water guns. Again, I don't know where all of the, eggs, vinegar, mustard, and that stuff ended up. I don't know. We'll
maybe
see.
a little Romano cheese and mash up a couple of anchovies. You're on your way to a good Caesar salad.
I have no issue with punishing them. I just think this particular punishment. Going to work for 4 years there, working hard, getting your degree, and now all of a sudden you say they can't go graduate with these kids because of this. You know, again, punish them in another way. I think this is a little much. We'll see what happens.
That makes you the cool uncle that all the kids want to hang out
Maybe
with.
Maybe I am.
I'm the mean, stringent uncle that nobody wants to be around, and that's how I like it. Your kids get out of my yard.
Hey, punish, make them go to detention, make them come in on Saturdays for the next couple of weeks, whatever. Punish them one way. I just think this is, just me personally.
Softy.
Just me. Plus, I'm a big fan of pranks, so. We will give you the latest, and I have a feeling, I hope I'm right about this, I have a feeling all of these kids are going to get to graduate if people make a big enough stink about this. All right, coming up on the show, there's a couple of local prison guards who got in all kinds of trouble. One is was a current prison guard, not anymore, and another one was a prison guard and got in trouble. We'll explain coming up. Here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. I'll give you an example. When I say that social media has proven that everybody shouldn't have a voice to the public. The other day, when it was the anniversary of Kurt Cobain blowing his brains out, his death, a guy I used to work with up in Boston, a Facebook friend, he said, you know, today's the day Kurt Cobain died. He goes, I always thought Nirvana's music sucked, and I didn't think it helped rock and roll. I thought it really hurt rock and roll. But hey, R.I.P. Now, why would you say something like that? Why would you show the world and probably at least half the rock and roll fans in the world that you just crapped on a band that half the fans of rock and roll probably really like? Why would you? You know, it reminded me, I remember one day I was listening to the radio here in New Orleans, and one of the radio people said, I've never found Cindy Crawford attractive. That bothered me because I always thought Cindy Crawford was really good looking.
See, and you don't want anyone to disagree with you. That's your problem.
It's not disagree. But why would you say something that is going to bother at least half the people?
Well, you know,
you
don't know how many people it bothers. You don't have.
But to say Nirvana's music sucks.
Well, I'm sure there are.
That's an ignorant statement.
I'm sure there are.
He's allowed to have his opinion, but it proves why he should not have a opinion.
Boy, that's censorship.
But
now you want censorship.
I don't want censorship.
You're no different than.
I don't want censorship.
You're no different than the people on the left. Who, if I don't like TV show XYZ, they not only don't want me to watch it, they want no one to watch
it. No,
that's
not true. I just won't watch it. I just won't listen to it.
No, sure it is.
I just won't watch it or I won't listen to it.
I'm going to unfriend you. That's
it. No, I'm not going to go after their bosses.
Done with you.
But it's an ignorant statement to say Nirvana's music sucks, especially if you worked in the radio.
Well, so what?
But you're showing your ignorance in front of everybody on Facebook.
Well, no, it's two different things.
I'm a complete idiot. Here, take a look at me. I'm an idiot.
Let's see.
I said Nirvana's music sucks. Here's the one band that changed everything.
I need to mark the tape at 6:28:36. Yeah. I can use that and use that and use that.
Well, instead of saying something so ridiculous, why did he even have to go there? See, if I had an opinion like
see,
that.
See, I think everything's not okay with at home. Is everything all right at home? Because as you like
great
to,
with me at
as
home.
You like to say, you know, you wouldn't have an opinion like that. You wouldn't be crapping on a band like Nirvana if everything was okay at home. So I wanted you to reach out to him instead of throwing.
I might send him a private message saying, "Why in God's name on the day that
Cobain
killed himself?"
I said, "Why don't you throw him a lifeline instead of a brick?"
But dude, you know
what?
Why don't
you be the better person?
You know what he tried to
do? Why don't you be the better person?
He tried staying relevant on a day where he wanted to be relevant on Facebook, on social media, on the day Cobain killed himself. So that's what he threw out there. Look, I want to try to stay relevant, but I'm going to tell you what I really think. I think Nirvana sucks. I think it's an asinine thing to say and do.
And this was how many days ago, and you're still
I just thought about it because we just heard Nirvana, and I just thought about it, and I said, what a ridiculous thing to say. That's all.
Is that a band lawn shirt?
All right, coming up on the show, we'll tell you about the problems that a couple of jails around here have. Stay tuned for that on Bayou 95.7.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. You know, there's contraband in pretty much every, well, many jails. I don't know the exact number. But I know for a fact if you went into the all-new and improved Orleans Parish Prison 2.0, the Orleans Justice Center, I know for a fact that there's contraband in there. We've seen YouTube videos. We've seen, you know, prisoners in there playing cards with big stacks of cash. Cold beer. Not just beer, but cold beer. Cold beer inside jail. Guns and cell phones. And there's contraband in many prisons. And contraband is snuck in there. And it's also brought in there by the guards who they supplement their pay as prison guards by taking money from people and saying, yeah, I can get this into the prison. Well, a couple of places around here just got made news for that. And what's interesting, this one woman, this ex-guard, just got arrested because she tried to drop off a cache of drugs, cell phones, and Air Jordans. Bring an Air Jordan. Imagine being in jail and you're worried about your sneakers. Got to have the Air Jordans. A woman who less than 2 years ago left her job as a corrections officer after her colleagues caught her smuggling contraband into Angola prison got arrested yesterday after trying to drop off, again, a cache of dope, cell phones, tobacco, Air Jordans, and more to a different Louisiana prison, according to state prison officials. 25-year-old April Matthews got herself arrested yesterday afternoon. A bunch of tobacco, cigarette lighters, earbuds, phone chargers, rechargeable batteries, clothing, including Air Jordan sneakers. And this woman who lost her job 2 years ago at Angola, she's up to her old tricks again 2 years later. But this time she tried getting this contraband into the Elaine Hunt Correctional Center. And the agency got her after it was a high-speed chase. She was dropped off the contraband, all of the stuff, and they saw her. They saw what she was bringing in. She got to the parking lot, the Elaine Hunt Correctional Center, and so they tried to apprehend her, but she was too quick for them. She smacked into a couple of cars, including a prison vehicle, and then got away. But then they chased her, and they caught her in Gonzales yesterday afternoon. That's where she was finally stopped and arrested, the 25-year-old. And locally, that's kind of local, but something closer to New Orleans, Jefferson Parish jail guard opened several cells to let inmates fight. A guard at the Jefferson Parish Correctional Center in Gretna was arrested after authorities say he opened the doors of several cells and watched from a control booth as the inmates beat one another in a brawl.
Well, like, you got to let the guys work off some steam, you know?
There has to be some entertainment in prison, shouldn't there? 45-year-old Dylan Smith of New Orleans was arrested and booked with malfeasance in office. You can't be doing that. The free-for-all happened on the last day of March. March 31st at 11:30 p.m. You know, and they got this stuff on video. How dumb is Dylan Smith, the prison guard? Doesn't he realize that there's cameras everywhere? And, this happened in the segregation housing area. believe that 2019, they're still segregating in prisons. 2019, we still have segregation rooms, segregation housing. I think that's wrong, to be honest with you. But this happened March 31st in the administrative segregation housing area of the Jefferson Parish Correctional Center in Gretna. Inmates are put there. They're segregated for a number of reasons, disciplinary issues, mental issues, all kinds of things like that. And I guess they're supposed to get keep your eye on the people in this particular segregation wing, the segregated wing, a little bit more. They're there for a reason. But prison guard 45-year-old Dylan Smith used them and that ward for his own entertainment. Open up the gates, release the helms, and watch these guys proceed to beat the crap out of each other. So there's some prison news around New Orleans, and it's good to see that a couple of jails are making news not for the right reasons, and it's not the Orleans Parish Prison 2.0.
Right. No PP squared.
Yeah.
I can eat 50 eggs.
Nobody can eat 50 eggs.
The John Osterlin Morning Show is brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans. And Lamarck Ford on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. So, are you familiar with the congressman from Texas, the one with the eye patch? He made news when Pete Davidson on Saturday Night Live made fun of him. And then Pete Davidson later apologized. His name is Congressman Crenshaw, and he's a military veteran. He's a real good guy, and he's not happy this morning with Minnesota Congresswoman Ilhan Omar. She was speaking at a CARE fundraiser. CARE is the Council on American Islamic Relations. She was speaking there, and she was talking about 9/11, and what she said was, quote, "Some people did something," unquote. That's how the Muslim congresswoman from Minnesota, Ilhan Omar, that's how she defined September 11, 2001, when she was speaking to the Council on American Islamic Relations. And she just got called out by Congressman Crenshaw saying, "Really? Really? That's how you describe almost 3,000 Americans perished,
right?
And you just described it as some people did something."
Maybe we should change the inscriptions at the reflecting the monument there at Ground Zero. Put that in there. Some people did something.
Yeah. About 3,000 people died because, quote unquote, according to the congresswoman from Minnesota, some people did something.
And it doesn't matter her nationality or her.
No. She's an open anti-Semite.
Well,
she's
that doesn't matter. Anybody who says something so ignorant should be called out on it.
I just think it's pretty wild. I mean, not only is she saying that, but it's the first time we've ever had an open anti-Semite in Congress. Coming up next, we look at today in history. We call the segment "Why Today Doesn't Suck." Suck is next on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7. New Orleans' only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show is brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans and Lamarck Ford. Let's look at today in history. And on this show, we call the segment
"Why Today Doesn't Suck."
April
10th.
Yes. Happy National. You and I have this in common. We have this in common on the top level, and then I believe on the secondary level as well. Today first is National Siblings Day. So you and I both have sisters, and we should probably do something nice for our sisters. And I believe both of our sisters, I believe your sister's older than you, mine's older than me.
Yeah.
We have that in common, so.
But is your sister crazy?
She can be. She can be.
Well, my sister's not listening today.
Oh.
Yeah, that's and not only that, but that's one of the rare things that you and I actually have in common.
Yes.
April 10th. It was today in 1970.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
Paul McCartney announces the breakup of the Beatles. It happened today.
And let the lawsuits fly.
Yeah, well, the Beatles spent the better part of 3 years breaking up in the late 60s. Even though they were able to hang out and hash things out and still produce great albums. But today was the day in 1970 where Paul McCartney told the world there will be no more Beatles.
Peace and love, peace and love.
You know, 8 years before that, April 10th in 1962.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
Original Beatle Stuart Sutcliffe died. His artistic ideas and close friendship to John Lennon had a lasting influence on the band. And who knows how the Beatles would have turned out if Stuart Sutcliffe didn't die today in 1962. You always wonder.
I don't know if there's, news, but there were a couple of rumors around John Lennon. One is that he killed a man in his young ruffian days. And then there are rumors that he may have had some close male bonding. And the close male bonding may or may not have taken place with Stuart Sutcliffe because they were, they had not only music, but more so with Stuart Sutcliffe, they had an affinity for art together. They're really just simpatico as far as art goes. And they may have been simpatico under the sheets. And so if this is news to you, I'm sorry to break it to you this way over the radio, but that is at least the rumor.
April 10th.
And Elvis did sleep with his mother. That's true. Elvis and Gladys, they hooked up.
You know, some people think gay sex, it's not for them. They might think, ew, gross. Sex with your mother is ill gross. I think that's beyond ill gross pretty much with any other type of sex. That's nasty.
Especially if you got a good look at Gladys. She wasn't exactly.
I mean, I don't care if your mother.
This is taking an ugly turn.
I don't care if your mother was a 10. That's nasty.
Yeah, really. Yeah.
Jesus, God.
Let's start over.
April 10th. It was today in 1953.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
The first color 3D film opens. It was the horror film The House of Wax, starring Vincent Price. It opened at New York's Paramount Theater. It was Warner Brothers released it. It was the very first movie from a major motion picture studio to be shot using three-dimensional or stereoscopic film process. And hopefully they gave the people the glasses there, because when you were walking in, how many people in 1953 had their own 3D glasses on them? They could just whip them out of their pocket. You
know? Exactly. In fact, it wouldn't work if you didn't have the glasses. So,
April 10th. It was today. Oh, this was founded today. The ASPCA was founded today, all the way back in 1866.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
The American Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals is founded in New York City today in 1866 by a philanthropist and a diplomat named Henry Berg.
That's Mr. Berg.
That's B-E-R-G-H.
Yes.
Berg. Did you know the guy named Berg founded the ASPCA?
Of course I knew that.
They do great work.
Yes.
They really do.
They provide defense to the defenseless. It was 90 years later on this date, April 10th, 1956.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
Leo Fender received a patent for what I hope to one day have him fall into my hands, even if I have to actually fork over money and pay for it. That would be the Fender Stratocaster. A solid body, beautiful, beautiful instrument.
I know Fender players, some prefer the Telecaster, some prefer the Stratocaster.
The nicest guitar I ever played, and I had it on loan for the longest time until this guy, and he was a big dude, he said, I want my 1959, I think, Telecaster back. I mean, that thing, basically, you just kind of like dance your fingers over and it played itself. What a nice guitar. One day I shall own a... Yeah, being a rock guy, I associate the Telecaster more with country. A lot of country artists play Telecaster. A lot of country artists have their own signature series of Telecaster. But Fender is just reissued an homage to a 1959, I believe, Jimmy Page owned Telecaster.
How about that? He's known for the Les Paul,
right?
But isn't Stevie Ray Vaughan's most famous guitar, isn't that a Tele?
No, a Stratocaster.
It's a Strat.
Yeah. Okay. I don't think I ever saw him play a Telecaster. It was on this date, April 10th. Speaking of animals, April 10th, 1992.
Why today doesn't suck.
That animal from Lafayette, Indiana, Axl Rose, left Chicago before a sheriff could arrest him for allegedly starting a riot during a Guns N' Roses concert the previous night in, or the previous year, the previous July in St. Louis.
Yeah, the warrant, it took a little bit of time for the warrant to come out, but when the warrant finally came out, they were in Chicago and he had to get the hell out of town.
I believe in a similar, well, sort of a similar way, and I think you have a plaque in your palatial estate that commemorates this. It was on this date, April 10th, 1970.
Why today doesn't suck.
During a Doors concert in Boston, Jim Morrison was dragged off stage by keyboardist Ray Manzarek after Morrison asked the crowd if they wanted to see his genitals.
Yeah, that was around the Miami time. That happened up in Boston, and he didn't say it like that. He said, "Who wants to see something that rhymes with my sock?"
Right.
That's what he said. Manzarek carrying him off the stage because Morrison was going crazy at that point.
You think?
He didn't get arrested that night, though, so my plaque wasn't from there. My plaque was from when he got arrested in New Haven, Connecticut, because he got maced by a cop backstage because he was messing with a girl, and the cop didn't know who he was.
Yes. I think your aunt bought you that plaque, didn't she? New Haven?
Yeah, the old New Haven, the bust. Hey, got a celebrity birthday.
All right.
Happy birthday. He's 67 years old today. Steven Seagal. You want to send him a gift? He could use acting lessons.
And how?
And finally, April 10th. This was a phenomenon, what happened in 1976 today.
Why today doesn't suck.
Peter Frampton's live album, Frampton Comes Alive, went to number one on the album charts in America, where it would stay for the next 2.5 months, almost 3 months. The reason why it was a phenomenon, Peter Frampton put out a couple of albums, a few albums. Nobody bought them. Nobody cared. For whatever reason, he puts out the live album, Frampton Comes Alive, something that studios hated because all you had to do was plug in. It didn't cost anything. You know, when a studio wanted to record an album, you go into a studio, you pay all kinds of money. But this, much like the band Kiss, that's how they made it big.
Right.
The live album. And if
you go back and listen to some of the songs on the live album that are so familiar now with the crowd noise and everything, and generally I'm not a big fan of live recordings. I mean, it's one thing to see an artist there to say, well, I was there at their show in XYZ Arena, wherever. But I'm generally not a big fan of live music. But everyone, I think, I did. I grew up on that, on Frampton Comes Alive. But if you go back and listen to some of the studio versions of those songs, they just fall flat.
Well,
they're just the performances aren't there.
And
I don't mean just the crowd. It's just the performances are flat.
Well, you have to blame the producer, too. Whoever produced it did not get what they got live. They didn't get in the studio. We could say the same thing about the Cheap Trick song we play here on Bayou 95.7. The song I Want You to Want Me.
Right.
The live version is so much better than the studio version. As a matter of fact, the studio recording of that song sucks compared to the live version.
I would say I would make the same case for Rock and Roll All Night. The studio version that you will also hear on the station, it's just kind of...
Kiss.
Yeah, it just kind of hangs there. But anyway, that is a segment that we call...
Peace and Love.
No, knock it off, Ringo. It's a segment we call...
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
Coming up on the show... Last year, the Saintsations, the Saints cheerleaders, had one male Saintsation. This year, there could be three. And some people are freaking out. We'll tell you the details coming up here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans.
Just one of the many artists at the New Orleans Jazz and Heritage Festival presented by Shell, John Fogerty will close out things on the Gentilly stage on second Sunday. That's Sunday, May 5th. If you want a chance not only to win a very coveted pair of Jazz Fest tickets, but people always say, can you take me there? Can you pick me up? Well, I don't know about picking you up. But go to Bayou957.com right now, look in the rock box, and register to win not only a pair of tickets, but a pair of shuttle passes on the Gray Line Jazz Fest Express, which will drop you off just like you're a big shot, right there by the flags, right there in front of the thing, right there in front of the gate. Buy you a cheap dollar water, and there you go.
Now, John Fogerty does a bunch of the Creedence hits, and he does a bunch of his solo hits. I was just reading the original bass player, a guy named Stu Cook, who's been fighting with Fogerty for years in court, battling him. I just read that they are now getting along, and they could reform Creedence. I think John Fogerty's brother was in Creedence as well. They could reform Creedence and tour. Again, is it that big of a deal? Because Fogerty's band does all the Creedence songs anyways. He wrote all the songs. But it would be kind of neat if two other guys that were in the band, the bass player and another guy in a band, the actual Creedence Clearwater Revival from, 50 years ago, whatever? Wow.
Right. Sadly, Tom Fogerty has been gone for a while. He died in September of 1990.
Well, he won't be on
there. No, he will not be there. Doug Clifford, he's 73. Doug Clifford was the drummer. I always remember in the commercial for the, what was started out showing Doug Clifford playing drums, and was like, Tom Fogerty, John Fogerty, Stu Cook, and Doug Clifford. And you could buy the Time Life, and you always saw Doug pounding the drums like this, shaking his head. Yeah. It's kind of a visual. It doesn't work on radio, but seen it. You get the idea.
TV commercial for that band. Isn't that something? So that'd be wild if they ended up getting back together. Hey, quickly, I just wanted to mention this. Brewster, the stakes just got higher for the actress who played Aunt Becky on Full House.
All right.
Yesterday, Lori Loughlin is her name. Not only is she in trouble for writing a check for $500,000 to bribe her dim-witted daughters into the University of Southern California, they just added another charge. Brewster, they found out that when they did their taxes that year, Aunt Becky and her husband said that $500,000 went to charity, and they used it. They tried to write it off as a tax write-off. That's money laundering.
Ooh.
They're saying that's another 10 years. Things just got a whole hell of a lot worse for the actress who played Aunt Becky. Now add money laundering on top of bribery. And the other actress, Felicity Huffman, just pled guilty. We mentioned that. She's going to take her punishment. From what all legal experts are saying, the most she's going to get is 4 months in prison. She still could get probation.
Right.
So, and again, she only paid $15,000 to have her dim-witted daughter's SAT scores raised by 400 points. A lot different than what Aunt Becky did. $500,000. And then say it was a charitable tax write-off. Wow.
Mind blown.
My mind is officially blown.
It is. You know what today is? It is, I say it, I play it Wednesday. Look what I found.
This is the sound that earned them 16 gold records.
I remember this commercial.
Clifford, Stu Cook, Tom Fogerty, and John Fogerty.
Creedence Clearwater Revival.
Oh, enough of that.
Well, at least
that was recorded on the surface of the moon, apparently.
Yeah, well, it looks like
not the best audio.
Could they're not fighting anymore? Well, the three that are still alive, and that'd be something if they all bring those other guys, throw them a bone. What the hell have they been doing for the last 40 years?
Mm.
All right, coming up next. Last year, the Saints, the Saints cheerleaders, they had one male cheerleader. There's two more trying out this year, and we'll tell you what people are saying. That's coming up on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. The John Osterlund Morning Show, brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans, and Lamarck Ford. So the second most talked about politician in the United States is making headlines again. And that politician is the freshman congresswoman from New York City, Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, or AOC, as everyone calls her. She has said she's a self-proclaimed socialist. She believes in socialism, calls herself a democratic socialist, even though it's never worked anywhere it's ever been tried. But she has said so many things that make you scratch your head. And so many memes about her have been produced on social media. We're at the point now where I don't know when I see those memes if it's a joke or if she actually said it. These two things, over the last couple of days, she actually said. You know how we have a bunch of Central American migrants that are heading to our border again, and it's been happening over the last year or so? I mean, it's been happening for a long time, but it's just been getting a lot more television coverage. That caravans, I mean, large groups of illegal immigrants coming from Central American nations are making their way through Mexico and up to the American border. And it's wild. You've got senior citizens, grandmothers who could barely walk, making this trip. They're getting rides. They're hopping on the back of something to make the trip. But it's getting, there's television cameras everywhere. There's lights everywhere. And usually when people are doing something illegally or about to do something illegally, they don't want the cameras and the lights in Hollywood there. But they happen to be there. Anyways, that's happening right now. And did you hear what Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez blamed that on? She just blamed the migrant crisis on climate change. She said one of the main reasons why that these Central American people are heading to our border to try to cross into our country illegally is because of climate change.
That's we're screwed.
And we're screwed.
We're screwed.
And that. I mean, climate change. Do you think the people in the third world Central American countries are sitting around saying, I mean, you know, they barely have enough food and to eat, and they barely have enough to get by on a day-to-day life. That's why they want to leave their third world crap hole countries and come here. Do you think climate change is what they're thinking about on the top of their head? Do you think, yeah, you know what, we got to get out of here. Yeah, I got nothing to eat, but boy, that climate change... That's sending us to the United States. She actually said that. She suggested that the United States, quote, would have blood on our hands if climate legislation doesn't get passed. She says, quote, the far right loves to drum up fear and resistance to immigrants, but have you ever noticed they never talk about what's causing people to flee their homes in the first place? Perhaps that's because they'd be forced to confront one major factor fueling global migration. Climate change. She said that. And again, when you see the memes going around about her, I don't think she actually said she hopes the Electoral College does not win the NCAA basketball tournament.
Well, she was right, but...
But there are so many memes about her. Again, I don't know which ones are true or which ones are jokes, because she has said so many crazy things, like blaming climate change, why all of those immigrants are heading to our border, and why immigrants from third world countries that are crap holes all over the world are migrating to other places. She's blaming it on climate change. And remember, this is the woman that said all of our lives are going to be over with within the next 12 years if we don't do something about climate change. Well, what about Asia? You know, we're doing the best we can here in America to limit our carbon footprint. We're doing the best we can, and we're doing better than a lot of other places. But if you say that, we have to do something about climate change, the first people you got to look at are the Chinese and people over in Asia. If you think we're destroying the ozone layer, if you think we're making a huge carbon footprint, theirs is a lot bigger. But anyways, that's not the only thing she said. The other day, President Donald Trump fired the head of our Homeland Security, a woman named Kirstjen Nielsen. And many people say Donald Trump fired her because she can't get a grip on what's happening at the Mexican border with all the, and there are thousands of people who are trying to get into our country, and they're using the cameras and the news and the lights, and they're using that to try to help them. And Kirstjen Nielsen, who was the head of the Homeland Security Department, Donald Trump said, "You're fired." And now we got someone to replace her. But did you hear what Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez said about Kirstjen Nielsen after she was fired as the head of the Homeland Security here in America?
Here, let me get ready here. Okay, lay it on me.
She said she doesn't deserve any new job. She basically said this woman should never work again.
So she should just starve?
Yeah.
Go away, be sent out on an ice floe?
If it were up to New York Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, the 29-year-old socialist bartender, she says outgoing Homeland Security Chief Kirstjen Nielsen wouldn't ever find work again. In stealing thousands of children, I'm quoting her, quote, in stealing thousands of children, deporting their parents, and refusing to provide information for reunification, Secretary Nielsen oversaw one of the largest scale human rights violations in history, according to AOC. And then she said, awarding her a lucrative deal or a prestigious post is to legitimize and celebrate that abuse. And by the way, Kirstjen Nielsen and Donald Trump have done nothing that the previous administration, the Obama administration, didn't do. The Obama administration did the same thing, but because the media loved Barack Obama, they weren't going to show up at former Walmarts where a lot of these people were being held in large cages while Barack Obama was president. They wanted to do that to show you Donald Trump is president and this is Trump's America. But she's incredible. So now this woman is not hireable at all.
Right.
She shouldn't even be a bartender, according to the bartender.
Well, see, there's one that's out there that claims, and I couldn't find the audio, that she said she's proud. She is from the Bronx and makes no apologies, and she's proud of being a bartender. All right, here's the AOC meme of the day. You ready? Well, I mean, we could play did she or did she not, but here you decide. The AOC meme, you decide. My abuela, my grandmother, told me muchachas can become astronauts. So when I went to college, I took up space. See, I like that because you have to think about that. That's got a little...
Did she really say that or is that a...
multi-layer. Well, the look on her face makes it very convincing that she said that. Let's try another one.
Didn't she say we could land on the sun, but we just have to do it at night?
That's one.
I think that may be a meme.
Here's one. I put a potato in the microwave and pushed the pizza button. The little bell rang, but it still came out a potato.
So that one I'm not sure of, because when she was cooking that meal that time, that's when she made a video when she said that, and she really did say women should stop having children because we're only going to be here for another 12 years.
12 years because we're all screwed.
Yeah, she did say that.
And finally, you decide. Nothing is built in America these days. I just bought a TV and it said built-in antenna. I don't even know where the hell that is.
Must be in the South somewhere, antenna. Again, did she say it or meme? But she did say the first two things that we started talking about.
Right.
She did blame the migrant problem on climate change, and now she thinks the former Homeland Security Director shouldn't get any job. Put her in the breadline. Hey, that's what socialists like, right? Put her right in the breadline. Coming up, we're going to get to the Saints male cheerleader story, the sensations, because there's going to be more this year on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show is brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans and Lamarck Ford. So last year on the show, we talked about the fact that the New Orleans Saints cheerleaders, the Saintsations, for the first time ever, had their first male member. And they
can you rephrase that?
The first guy on the usually all female Saints cheerleaders.
Right. We'll get to his member later.
Yeah, I don't know. There's 30 of them, maybe 35 of them, something like that. But and one of them last year was a guy, and his name is Jesse Hernandez. And I remember we talked about him. And you know what was interesting was. that when the local paper around here made a story about it, it got picked up by the Drudge Report. And so a gazillion more...
ThatRag.com?
A gazillion more people clicked on it, and some of the comments that Jesse Hernandez got, it was sad. And I mean, and he got a lot of negative comments from people around here. And what I always said was, look, I give this guy credit for having the guts to say that I want to do something that I know people are going to make fun of me for. And he said he always was a dancer, and he wanted to dance, and this was a good opportunity for him. And he made the squad. And you probably would have hardly even noticed him, because like I said, there's about 35 of them.
32, I think.
There's 32 of them. You probably hardly would have noticed him if you went to the games and watched the Saints-Sations, because there's one guy there, and the other 31 of them, they're girls, they're women. But some people were bothered by it. We had a few questions on this show, which were answered during the season. I said, what in God's name is he going to wear? They can't put him in the same Saints-Sations outfits and give him pom-poms like they do to the female cheerleaders, which they didn't. He had his own outfit. And
he had his own pom-poms.
He didn't use the pom-poms that the rest of the Saints-Sations used, but he kind of did his own thing. And
but can you rephrase that as well?
Well, now if you just watch the games on TV, you'd probably never see him, because they very rarely, if ever, show the Saints-Sations. And if they do, maybe it's like, just coming back from a commercial,
exactly.
They'll show him for like 3 seconds.
Right.
You know,
we call that the bumper shot, either into or out of a break.
So unless you went to a game and stared at him, you probably would have never even noticed him. And, you know, what I said last year when I had people making fun of him and people calling him names, I said, look, it's 2019. If this is what makes the guy happy, and if he's good enough to make the team, I mean, the only thing that bothered me as a feminist, which I am, is that this would cut one female from the Saints-Sations cheerleading squad, which it did. But, you know, when I did see, Ben, this guy had some moves. Now, obviously, I prefer the female cheerleaders, but boy, that Jesse was sassy. Boy, was he sassy. And some of those kicks, Brewster.
Sassy Jesse, right.
Some of those kicks, Marone.
Is everything okay at home?
Well, not everything's fine, but the reason I'm bringing this up in the middle of the offseason is because they're having Saints-Sation cheerleader auditions again. And not only is he back, there are two other guys who are coming back. And by the way, the Saints...
Two more male members.
Two more male members. There was one other NFL football team that did this, and it was the Rams. And they had two male cheerleaders. So I don't know if they were here that day when the Saints got robbed of going to the Super Bowl in the NFC Championship game with the no call. But the Rams have two male members. And the Saints-Sations, they had one male member, and now there are two more guys who want to join Jesse. And if they both make the squad, that would be three. They would jump past the Rams, unless the Rams are trying to bring on two more dudes to be cheerleaders.
That'd be six male pom-poms.
There are officially three finalists for the 2019 New Orleans Saints cheer squad, the Saints-Sations. Jesse Hernandez is number one. The others are named only by their first names. Dante from Vicksburg, Mississippi. And Dylan from, how do you say this town, Brewster, in Louisiana? E-R-A-T-H.
E-R-A-T-H. Erith? I guess.
Well, Dylan from Erith.
E-R-A-T-H?
Yeah, E-R-A-T-H.
It's not E-R-E-T-H?
E-R-A-T-H.
Yeah.
It doesn't sound like...
Oh, hell, I don't know.
He just doesn't... A town like that, small town, it doesn't sound like there's any female cheerleaders, any cheerleaders there, let alone male cheerleaders. Erith, Louisiana. And we'll see what happens. The Sensations had their first round of auditions a few days ago on April 5th, and we'll see what happens. Again, if you don't like them, if you prefer female cheerleaders, which I do, just watch the female cheerleaders, and don't watch this guy. But I read the story about Jesse Hernandez last year. He comes from a single parent home. His mother is the one that raised him, and he's been dancing since he was a kid, and he wanted to find a way where he could get more exposure for his dancing, and I guess the Sensations cheerleaders was the place. And I just don't understand. Look, I get it where some of the negativity comes from, and I get it where some of the mean names come from, but why make fun of this guy? I mean, because he's an easy target to make fun of? Because he's low-hanging fruit? I'm just saying he's low.
Well, you're not helping yourself.
Well, I supported him, Brewster, and if you remember the shows we did, I said, look, I give this guy credit because he's doing something that he knows that people are going to make fun of, that he knows people are going to look down on him, but he said, you know what, I'm going to do this anyway. And I think it takes a big set of you-know-whats for a guy to say, I want to be a Saints cheerleader.
Well, there's no question that the precedent has been set that the Sensations are the place where male members can get exposure.
Yeah, and instead of taking the easy way out and calling them names and making fun of them, I don't think the guy's probably had the easiest life up to this point. And now that he's doing this, see, as I get older, Brewster, because I bet you if you go back 20 years or 25 years, I probably would have said, I probably would have been like a bunch of the other people making,
right,
joking about it, making jokes about it. But,
and you mean on the air, too.
Well, I mean,
you just may not have spent this much time on it.
But now that I've gotten older and I've gotten a little more mature, I kind of, no matter what story we ever talk about on the radio show, I always try to put myself in that person's situation. I always try to put myself there. And again, the games I went to last year, I paid attention to the majority of the female cheerleaders. And if Jesse happened to get in my eyesight, hey, there's Jesse.
Did you wave when you saw him?
No, I didn't.
I know what you mean, though. It's like earlier this morning we were talking about the death penalty, and I was trying to put you in that situation in my mind.
What was that? So we'll see what happens with these two other guys. And I know there are going to be some fans that say, hey, cheerleaders should be for women. And I understand that, but it is 2019. Times are a-changing, and we could see now two more male Sensations. I mean, I really don't care. I wish I cared more. And I give this person some credit for going outside the box and doing what he wants to do, and we'll see what happens with these other two.
Yes. And in this segment, you've already given them more airtime than they're going to get in 16 regular season games.
Well, that's the feminist in me, and that's supporting the majority female New Orleans Sensations.
Festivus, what?
All right, coming up. Wait till you hear what this mother and daughter just did in Arizona. I can't believe a parent would get their child involved in something like this. That's coming up on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7. New Orleans only classic rock. This is awful what this mother and her daughter did. And I'm looking at their mugshots. It looks like a father and a son. These two have shaved heads. They look like two men. And I couldn't believe that they were two women when I read the story. Arizona family cashes checks for years after killing grandmother, storing body in home.
Not Nana.
Well, you know, we've seen this before all over the country where the people might have a dead relative, but the Social Security check keeps coming in, the retirement, whatever the case may be. And look, let's put this person on ice for a while. We need this money. This just happened in Arizona. And if you look at the mugshots, I cannot believe It's a mother and her daughter. It looks like a father and his son. An Arizona mother and daughter were arrested yesterday for killing the family's 77-year-old grandmother 2 years ago and continuing to cash monthly checks in her name. 46-year-old Tara Avon and her daughter, 24-year-old Briar Avon, were taken into custody. All they were doing was doing a welfare check because a couple of neighbors said, you know, we haven't seen Nana walking around the property, the yard, like she normally does. We haven't seen Nana out in the driveway, her Nana on the front stoop. So police showed up. They first lied to police. They said they didn't know where she was. But then the police got the 24-year-old, Briar Avon. And but police questioned. And by the way, Briar Avon lived right next door. And at first they said, Nana's out of town, unavailable to talk to you coppers. There was some inconsistencies in their stories. And then they said, look, tell us what's going on here. We're going to enter the home. We're going to search the home. And that's when they did. And they found the body of the deceased person, to believe the 77-year-old Nana, Sandra Avon. And these two were arrested. Rooster, have you clicked on that story? Have you seen these two mugshots?
No, I'm afraid to. It's just, I'm going to let your description suffice in this particular case. I just don't want to.
Yeah, it's a mother and her daughter.
Are you sure?
That's what it says. Here in the year 2019, like I said, when we were talking about the male Saints cheerleaders, Brewster, everything, things are changing. Things are changing. And this is a mother and a daughter. Okay, so what? They got shaved heads. Their heads are shaved and they look like a father and a son. But that should be on the back burner of this story. They killed them. The mother killed her mother. Stashed the body on ice for a couple of years so the checks could keep coming in. And I bet you that happens because we read about it. And I bet you that happens more than we know. There are some people, some losers that they just get hooked on that paycheck. They get hooked on their senior citizen, well, their wife's paycheck.
And they're like, the government. What's $5,000 a month to the government?
However much it was.
Huh. More than I make.
I think I'm going to put this story on the Bayou Facebook page with these mugshots because I've never seen a couple of mugshots like this. I've never seen a mother-daughter mugshot look like this. All right, coming up next on the show, Gillette, the company that makes the razors, they're back in the news. Remember not that long ago we talked about them because of the commercial they put out talking about toxic masculinity? They just put a plus-size model on a beach in a bikini for their latest ad.
That I want to see.
Well, I don't know about that.
I don't care about the mugshots, but that I want to see.
Well, people are going crazy over social media. They're lashing out at Gillette, and we will tell you why coming up next on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock, the John Osterlin Morning Show, brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans and Lamarck Ford.
Save this date, Saturday, May 18th, from about noon until about 3. All right. It is the annual Bayou 95.7 Bash and Boil 2019. New location this year. I think this is going to be awesome. If this works out, I'm going to claim this was my idea. If not, well, we'll see. It's going to be at Felix's on the lakefront, 7400 Lakeshore Drive, where the old Brisbee's used to be. They took that place over. It's a great, they've got the great deck for live music downstairs. They've got the restaurant upstairs. Our buddy Adam Pierce is going to be playing live out there.
Cool.
There's going to be some cool stuff. There'll be a great price on crawfish, platters, and the like. And we'll have some cold beer, I would imagine. Hopefully, we'll have a great sunshiny day. That's going to be Saturday, May 18th. About noontime, Bayou, Bash and Boil, be there or be nowhere. You literally would be nowhere if you're not there.
We're going to be there.
We'll be there.
So the company that makes razors is in the news again. Gillette. You might remember a few months ago, they made news for making a commercial that took on, quote-unquote, toxic masculinity. And some people thought that, well, what are you doing? You sell razors. What are you telling us how to act and how to be and what our opinion should be? I remember we talked about it a little bit. They're making news for something different this morning. They just did an advertisement, and they used a photo. You know, they say plus size model. This woman is extremely large. And she's in a bikini. And she's on the beach. And that picture ignited social media, ignited Twitter, like pouring gasoline on a fire. People are like, what in God's name are you doing? The call her a plus size model, but she's bigger than a plus size model.
Let me help you out here. They're plus size models, and that's more of a marketing term. You gals out there know your catalogs will have your normal sizes. I've all been told this and read some of it on chat rooms. But anyway, the plus size model. Then you have your BBW, you have your big beautiful woman. Then you have your SSBBW, your supersized big beautiful woman. This woman would be in the SSBBW category.
Her name is Anna O'Brien.
Not that there's anything wrong with any
of that. Well, this is why we're bringing this up. Her name is Anna O'Brien, and she's extremely large. I mean, she's huge. And there she is standing on the beach in a bikini with her arms spread. Looks like she's given the Richard Nixon victory sign.
She looks a little looks a little like Richard Nixon.
And the ad is for Gillette Venus. And underneath this image that they tweeted out, it says, go out there and slay the day. Glitter plus lasers.
All right, so this is not for a male product. It's for a lady Gillette?
Gillette Venus, I guess. Takes body hair off, I guess.
Right.
Well, a Twitter tsunami started. And the Twitter tsunami featured cruelty, medical advice, all other kind of accusations as well. One person tweeted underneath that, love that Gillette is saving the whale.
Right.
And they called that person a troll.
You've set the bar pretty high now. Right off the bat with that one.
One person tweeted, you are dangerous, Gillette. You should encourage young girls to be healthy and fit and not obese with all of the known complications that come from obesity.
All right, Matthew responds via Twitter, be happy even if you pass away from diabetes or heart disease at the age of 45.
And some person wrote, is this all in the name of crazy left-wing feminism? Making it political. But then, Anna O'Brien, the extremely large woman in the bikini on the beach, posing for Gillette in their razors, she had her defenders, too.
Right.
Someone said, are you this person's doctor? On Twitter. Do you know if they are unhealthy? How? Well, I think, by looking at, I mean... Look, I'm trying to be as professional and as mature as possible. Brewster, it looks like one of her legs weighs more than me.
Yeah. That does not qualify you to make a medical pronouncement, though, about how fit or... That's not even the point. Don't miss the point here. Here's the point. I think a lot of people are treating this as Procter & Gamble, and Gillette is under the umbrella of Procter & Gamble. Don't think for a second that they're not, that this has come as some shock and that their ad agency, whoever they might, these people sit and pore over charts and graphs and spreadsheets, and they know exactly what they're doing. They know exactly what the response is going to be. They have, it's like zip codes. It's like in radio, we have what is referred to as are hot zip codes. I mean, it's all about the, so it's, I think people are like, oh my God, I can't, you know, Gillette is going to, they're either, this is going to happen or this is, they know exactly what's going to happen.
That's the issue, Brewster. They knew that putting this extremely large woman in a bikini on a beach to promote their razors via a Twitter ad.
Right.
They knew this was going to set off social media, that people were going to have opinions.
Which is completely subservient to the fact that they are trying to sell razors. And I bet they're going to. I bet they're going to. You know, the other thing, and talking about the ad, which basically male toxicity and shaming men, and it's like men have been men for too long, and it's sort of a veiled jab at that locker room mentality. I would imagine that they probably had good success with that, because these companies and their ad agencies, they're spending hundreds of millions of dollars, and they're not going to just fritter it away. So I would imagine this is probably getting, number one, the buzz. I mean, it starts with the buzz. The buzz is the foot in the door. And then you get the foot in the door, just like the Fuller Brush Man from 1,000 years ago. Once your foot's in the door, you can start your sales pitch about how good your product is.
But
this is all just sizzle.
With this particular ad, where do you draw the line from, you know, accepting everybody to, wait a minute, that's really not that healthy, at least from everything that we've learned about diets and things like that.
Then don't follow Twitter, and or don't follow Gillette on Twitter. And if that's not good enough, then don't read current events. I mean, no one should be. I happen to like. What would you say? Kind of plump. That's just my thing.
Sure,
she's. I would say she's a little, you know, a little bit too much for me. But it is. This is one of those things that I'm just, I can't help but pull up in my mind that meme that says, and it's from whichever movie it is, what if I told, Lawrence Fishburne, what if I told you that you can just read something on the internet and keep on scrolling and go on with your life? People are spending too much time on this. I understand that we're talking about it because I hope it's because it's fascinating. It's a fascinating little slice. On this day here in April of 2019, about what's going on. And we talk about this pop culture stuff, but people who are getting too fired up about this one way or the other, it's like, oh my God, wow. I would love to have some of that time that you have on your hands.
Yeah, and you know, it's amazing, the people on social media, you know, they sit on their couches or whatever the case may be.
In their parents' basement.
And they comment, and then they're so outraged about something, and then 5 minutes later, they're on to something else.
Right. Someone else will say something or
do
something.
Being so outraged about something else, and I agree with you there, but Gillette did this for a reason, and will this help sell razors? That's all they care about, and...
Or is it like baseball? It's the leadoff hitter setting the table for whatever they have next. This is getting runners on base.
And
I don't know.
This woman is so big, Brewster, Anna O'Brien.
How big is she?
Well,
Go ahead.
I just wonder how many razors it would take to shave those legs. I really do. I mean, they're immense. But hey,
all right. Mm-hmm. Glad I had time for you to get that in.
Well, Gwen Stefani just got shamed. By some of these same people. We'll talk about that coming up on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. All right, coming up next, it's our commercial free ride. Hang out with us here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. If you listen to the show, I've mentioned that I'm a fan of the TV show Jeopardy, and I wish Alex Trebek the best in his health battle that he's going through right now. I always said, boy, that would be my dream job to replace Alex Trebek. But anyways, last night on Jeopardy, I was watching, and a guy broke the record for winning the most money on Jeopardy, on one single episode of Jeopardy, and it wasn't even close. As a matter of fact, before they got to Final Jeopardy, he was only $400 or $500 short of the record. That was before they got to Final Jeopardy. And then he went and he bet like $35,000 on Final Jeopardy. He hit that and he won $111,000 last night. That's not even 30 minutes because they have commercials. So that's probably about 23 minutes, 22 minutes, something like that. He made $111,000 in 23 minutes. The guy's brilliant. He's a 30.
I don't find him all that bright.
He's 34 years old. His name is James Holzhauer. He's a professional sports gambler from Las Vegas. Go figure. A professional sports gambler is that brilliant. And last night he won exactly $110,914, by far surpassing the most money ever won in one episode of Jeopardy. I can't wait to watch him again tonight and tomorrow. I can't see anybody even coming close to this guy.
We walked to school. It was 10 miles in the snow.
Thanks for listening to our show today. We appreciate it. Ginty is next. Ginty! Music Notes at noon. We'll chat again tomorrow morning around 5:30 here on Bayou 95.7.